hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh roads. Call me privately.
Oh, yeah, welcome to episode 231 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, and on occasion, sometimes even the paranormal. Now, this is going to be one of those rare live broadcasts because typically, hey, folks, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, go in there right off the bat, hit the thumbs up to tell everybody at YouTube to go ahead and start suppressing us. Because that's typically what happens, especially when I have a subversive one like I'm going to have on today. So this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, handle all your preparedness needs yourself. Everything you can't source, check out the people at Heaven's Harvest, and they're going to square you away. And if you want to tip a pimp, do it over there on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed if you like. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a player, you know where to do it. So tip a pimp over there. So drop a, well, that derivation is called a Satoshis, and for short, they call them sats. So, you know, as I always say, drop a S-A-T on a P-I-M-P. This episode also brought to you by Redemption Shield. Guess what? For all those watching, I'm going to prove it because usually you're listening to the audio format. I'm going to put them up here. Bam! These bare feet are sitting on a redemption shield mat right now because I stayed grounded. Look, y'all, I ain't just G'd up from the feet up. I'm grounded all the way up, and I do it as often as I possibly can because right now in this studio, I'm getting Kentucky fried by this Pimpcast sign behind me. Also, all the computer equipment that's in here, well, you know, hey, the only way to make it work for me is to stay constantly grounded, and that's why I use Redemption Shield. I reached out to a number of companies out there, and they were the only ones that said, hey, test this stuff. Let us know if it doesn't work out. Bam, we'll set things right. So as always, y'all, no company reaches out to me. I reach out to them and because I know that they're squared away. Speaking of companies that are squared away, look, I'd be absolutely positively remiss if I didn't point out Redemption Shield. Yeah, the guy I'm going to talk to today might have a little affiliation with him. Redemption Shield, y'all, I've been a journeyman electrician, IBEW trained for 27 years, and I've installed transient voltage surge suppressors all over this country, every kind of manufacturing warehouse you can think of, and there isn't even a close second to Redemption Shield. And when I say not even close, I mean not even close. In fact, just think about it. Look, y'all, if things jump off, and given what happened last night in that debate, it might. When things jump off, you're not going to the club. You're trying to get to the house of your bug out spot. Don't worry. We're going to cover a lot of that. Folks, this is a program you don't want to miss. In fact, if you got people out there that aren't listening right now, go get everybody you know, because we're going to be talking about some really important stuff in terms of community and in terms of all these other things. And it might even include a bug out spot. But look, if things go wrong in your house, the number one threat on your place, well, notwithstanding an EMP, is going to be a lightning strike. And they cover you for that, too. And if this thing gets Kentucky fried or blows up anything downstream, there is nobody in the business that has a better guarantee. That's why I reach out to EMP Shield, because they are off the hizzle fo shizzle, as one ghetto philosopher once said before. And if you want $50 off, put in promo code PERMA, and they're going to get you squared away. All right, so here I am, got all the housekeeping squared away. And like I said, y'all, the advertisers are what make this thing possible. And they're going to appreciate your support out there. So go check them all out. Now, this last weekend, what is it today? I'm starting to lose count of what day it is. It's Wednesday, I think. Yeah, because it is Wild Wednesday. And remember, on a Wild Wednesday, we could be talking about anything. It doesn't have to be permaculture. Remember, this show is about permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And look, y'all, I was talking about in my last podcast, on my Monday episode. If you haven't seen it, go back and check it out. That probably one of the, without a doubt, the tightest knit group I've ever seen. And folks, I've been invited to speak all over this country. And the tightest knit group, without a doubt, is, I don't even know that there's a close second, is the one in Kansas. Now, I used to be a part of elements of this group, a decade or two ago. It's been a while. I mean, you know, Kansas is basically where I cut my teeth in a lot of this stuff, especially in preparedness. And I'd gotten out of it initially because the typical person or typical guy, and many of you have probably noticed it, when there's a Democrat in office, preparedness circles grow. When there's a Republican, they acquiesce. And this has been going on since the Clinton administration. Folks, I've been doing this that long. And I've been noticing it for that long. The thing I hated about most preparedness circles is that among the guys, they have their little pet thing. And that's it. And then among, you know, you'll have the guys, there's groups where there's ego that takes over. Or with the women, it tends to be cattiness. And then sometimes you got a little bit of crossover of both. And I was at this festival, y'all. And I was absolutely floored. I mean, knocked my junk into my watch pocket when I realized the fellowship that was going on here. And I couldn't explain it. I know Bobby Tagg, who's basically, I guess I need to bring him on to the show at this point. Bobby Tagg, Patrick, and a number of others out there. I just kept saying over and over and over again that there is something very, very, very special about this. And I've been struggling to find out what it is. And with that said, I want to bring on Tag from Life Done Free, y'all. He's got a YouTube channel. Go check him out. You're going to be glad you did, because he's one of those people out there that's doing critical work in this space. And almost certainly, definitely one of the people that's without a doubt being suppressed. So we're doing this live for a number of reasons, folks. I wanted, number one, to have him on live to be able to field some of the questions that some of you are almost certainly going to have. Because I want experts on here. I'm going to try to do some more of these live things more and more. And hopefully I'm doing it with the understanding that some people are going to be able to listen live. And I'm also doing it with the understanding that the overwhelming majority of our audience has definitely gone to the audio platform because they know we don't get suppressed over there. But this topic is way too important. Tag, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing good. It's good to be back. I think the last time I was on your show was, 2 years ago or 18 months ago, or I'm super cool to be back.
Well, it shouldn't be that long in between these times. I wanted to do a live. There wasn't the opportunity to do it out there. I wanted to do an interview out there with you, but it's better that I think that we do it. I think it worked out better this way because we can field some live questions for the people that are almost certainly going to have questions out there. But let me just start right out of the gates for all the people that don't know you. Like you said, it's been a minute since we've been on live together. But it's also been a minute since we also did the podcast. So why don't you give a synopsis of, you know, a little bit about your background. And folks, you pay attention because you're going to be glad you did. I mean, we're going to be getting into some stuff, and he's going to give you the kind of the cheat code to how they do what they do back there. But a little bit about you, bro.
Yeah. So I'm a recovering financial executive. You know, I spent my life in finance, working in financial holding companies till 2020. And I'll make this story short because a lot of you guys have heard it. They tried to get me to mandate the vaccine for all the people, you know, my employees. I refused, lost my career, decided I was going to go homestead and get off grid, and, you know, took my money out of the market and put my money where my mouth was and got off grid. And, you know, we started focusing in on community and have built an amazing community, as, you know, Billy was talking about before. And it's, you know, it's so fascinating when you bring so many successful people together in one environment, what, you know, the things that you get to accomplish when people are willing to put the small petty things aside. And I think Billy mentioned earlier, you know, that our community is special. And I think there's a lot of things that make it special, but I think one of the big ones is that everybody understands that the world's a mess, and everybody understands to let the little things go, and that the collective together, if we work hard together, not only can we live freer, but we can also control legislation. We can also control who's on the school boards. We can also control who's on the county commissioners. We can also control so many things if we just put the differences beside us and strive together as one unit, and which is exactly the opposite of what the system wants you to do, right? The system wants us divided. They want us to hate each other along color lines, along, you know, Republican and Democrat lines, men and women lines. But we're bucking that entire system here in Kansas, and it's working really, really well.
Yeah. I mean, as far as this whole division and all of, you know, that sort of thing, you know, the only racist comment for anybody that's even curious, look, I might've been the only person that wasn't a pale skin out there. Actually, there was one other. And the only racist comment that came out of anybody came out of me. And In fact, hey, for the record out there, yeah, I'll own it. Racist, rational, and constitutionally inspired sensible thinker. That's what a real racist is these days. Maybe that ought to be in a hat or a shirt one of these days. But yeah, in fact, I made an off-color joke, and people, I think, were afraid to laugh. We were processing chickens, Darren and I. And I said, yeah, you know, I don't know how it came out, but I said, yeah, I just have a genetic predisposition to like fried chicken. So, hey, that was the only thing out there. So for anybody out there that's thinking, you know, there are color barriers and all this nonsense, that's absurd. And we can't be divided by this garbage, even all the other things that exist out there, or at least they try to make us think exist out there. Jack, let's go into... We can take this basically anywhere you go, but I want to talk briefly about, maybe you can help me out here, bro. I mean, to a certain extent, I make my living. I used to be a talk radio host at KMBZ in Kansas City for a while. And man, it is a struggle like you would not believe to be in a position to not adequately describe what and how and what for regarding any topic. What do you think? I'm just going to cut to the chase right off the bat. What is it about that group in Kansas that fosters such a community that is unlike anything else I've ever seen? I mean, like I said, there's not even a close second. I mean, what is it?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of things that make it go that way, but I think there's some building blocks that certainly help it. You know, I've mentioned earlier about how we've all kind of just put our egos aside so that we can go build the town that we set out to build, which was ultimately, you know, our goal. But I think there's some other really important things. And, you know, I've watched a lot of communities come and go, and I've been part of other communities that didn't work out. And the reason why they didn't work out really came down, after a lot of reflection, came down to one issue. And that was that those other communities, everyone was piling up on somebody else's land. Everyone else was going to some other place, some intentional community. And so when we decided to build the community here, the building block that we built it on was an intentional neighborhood instead of an intentional community. Let me explain what that means. So I own my own land. I am sovereign on my own land. Nobody tells me what to do on my own land. I follow my own rules on my own land, as does every other homesteader here. What started out as just two farms has now blossomed over 1,200 acres. And, you know, homesteads all over the place, but they're all sovereign. And I think focusing on that individual right instead of the right of the collective and really making it the building block of the community, I think has allowed us to flourish, because you don't have a lot of that ego stuff that goes on. And let me kind of go back a minute. I was part of a community once that broke apart over a bowl of cereal. Let me explain. This is going to sound crazy. One lady felt like the other lady didn't give their child an equal-sized bowl of cereal. And in the end, it tore the group apart. But what's funny is it wasn't about a bowl of cereal. That was the last straw of a whole series of things that built up over a whole period of time. And in the end, we weren't strong enough to overcome it. And I think part of the reason for that was is we focused on the collective when we should have been focusing on the individual. I think that building block by itself will move people miles ahead in building community versus those, you know, traditional models that you see, you know, kind of everywhere else. And then there's another side to that too, which is vetting. You know, when people move to this community, last year we got 9 new families to this community. I think this year we're up to 6, I think, if I've counted right. We do a really good job of vetting, and you never know it's coming. You don't see it coming, right? We have people who come out, we host dinners, we get to get them interacting with the community, but you know, we're looking specifically for those professionals and looking for people who can put those petty differences aside. You know, I like to ask them questions like, you know, hey, if your neighbor had a dog that came over and ate your chicken, what would you do about it? I want to see how conflict resolution works. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, white or black, boy or girl. I don't care about any of that stuff. That stuff is so irrelevant. What I care about is, can you come together as a team and for the better good, but also recognize that the individual right trumps everything else.
You know, Tag, that alone, now I've myself, my wife, my son and I have been part of, I guess you could say 3 intentional communities, and they were all freaking disasters. Well, the only ones that were a real disaster were the ones that involved my family. So yeah, just because they're family doesn't make him good for you. And one of life's greatest injustices has to be the inability to choose your own family. But you found a way around that, because to a certain extent, I mean, you could, I mean, and you do with the way you had that set up, because, you know, a lot of us tend to forget that when the pilgrims came over, man, I wish I could, I really need to find this story and reference exactly. But when they first came over, they worked as a collective and they were dropping like flies. Mm-hmm. The governor of that community finally said, after they lost about half of them, he says, okay, we're going to change up this structure a little bit. Here's what we're going to do. Instead of every, and it's funny because you've modeled exactly the same thing, and I wonder if that was part of your inspiration. He basically said, okay, here's how we're going to do it from now on. Everybody, you have your own little sovereign farm. There's no longer a general store over here that we can all just take from whenever we want. I'm going to govern that from here on out. Everybody else, don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. You work your farm, and then we're going to mutually, we're going to be agorists. We're going to be, everybody do your own thing.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden he documents in his journals that all of a sudden people quit dying. And then all of a sudden the ladies, and he spoke specifically about these two ladies that would typically say, oh, I have a headache every time it was time to go out there and weed the garden or work in the garden or whatever. And then all of a sudden he noted in his diary that, somebody must've told those two ladies, get loose or get lost, because all of a sudden they're out there working in the garden and the headaches all of a sudden weren't a problem anymore. And then all of a sudden, wow, lo and behold, they started to flourish. And it seems like you've done pretty much the same exact thing. Now, within this collective community, I was recently at Polyface and Joel Salatin and I were sitting across from each other at a table. Two ladies sat down and they were part of a cooperative community. Joel about choked on his... He literally choked on his chicken. He was eating chicken at the time. I'm telling the honest truth. And then I said, Joel, should I explain? And then they're like, yeah, what's wrong? I said, well, I don't think either one of us have ever seen a cooperative community that ever worked out long-term after, you know, 5 years or so. And so they were just a couple of years into it. But, they hadn't gotten to that point. But the point being is that I've never seen any of that stuff work. And every time I've been a part of it, it's always in every single case, like in my family, it was like in the middle of a Snoop Dogg song. It was like, you know, where he says, I got me some Seagram's gin. Everybody got the cups, but they ain't chipped in. Well, that was my family, bro. They wouldn't be there when the pigs needed to get fed or when the animals needed to get moved. But man, when processing came around, oh yeah, you know, hey, let me, step off, bro. You're not getting any of this. And then of course that would create a lot of strife and whatever else. Yep. Well, you avoid all that dumb stuff, but I mean, so let's go back to, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to monologue so long, but man, this is a topic that needs to be discussed.
Billy, you addressed something super important in what you just said right there that I think I skipped over, but I think the audience really needs to understand. And that's that we create our own energy capital credit score inside the community. And there are people in our community who will pick up the phone and say, hey, I need help pouring concrete tomorrow. And everybody shows up to help. There's other people in our community who will pick up the phone and say, I need help pouring concrete tomorrow. And nobody's going to show up. And the difference between those two is the energy capital credit score they've earned along the way. If you want help, show up. If you want your decision heard, be involved. And then, of course, don't be a dick. And if you accomplish those things, you'll build a great reputation inside the community. I can get help anytime I want help, but it's because, well, today, when I get done with you today, Billy, I'm going to another farm to inspect his plumbing to make sure before we pour concrete on Monday that everything's the way that it's supposed to be. If you do that, it works out. So the solution to your problem of nobody shows up to the pig, that's fine. Then no one's going to come help you. It works itself out. I don't have to manage it. I don't have to govern it. There don't need to be any governance, right? We build our own credit score.
Yeah, but it only works out. It does not work out in a collective. It only works out if we all have our own little fiefdom. That is the only way this works. And that seems to be the nut that you've cracked. Now, somebody's going to say, now in these, not only the cooperative communities that we've been a part of, but also the ones in which we've visited. There's one. Well, we were just in Lawrence last weekend. There's a cooperative community out there. I think it was called the Delaware Commons, if I'm not mistaken. And it's right there in Lawrence. And it's basically when I remember the last time talking to some of the people there, and I worked around a lady at Cerner Corporation back in Kansas City. And she was talking about, I mean, yeah, the typical drive a Prius type of thing, you know, 10 miles below the speed limit, the whole nine yards. And I remember asking her, I remember being fascinated about the whole thing and her saying that it was a flipping disaster because you have all these common areas and, you know, you have, and then you have in the libertarian tradition, the tragedy of the commons where everybody gets to call what the shots are going to be on this particular common area. And it has to be done as a collective. Well, no decision ever gets made. And if it does, you're going to have half the people that are pissed off. So what you're doing there seems to be the only sensible way to get around this sort of thing. Yep. So
yeah, well, I think it's important to note, I didn't invent it. You know, what I've noticed was the early days of America, what made America so great was the focus on individual rights and away from the collective. And America started to turn the other way when we began to focus on the collective. We had to focus on democracy instead of the constitutional republic that it was meant to be. And I just started reading into it and studying into it and go, hey, this makes absolute sense. Like you can have total freedom if you focus on individual freedom. You can't have it if you focus on the collective freedom. And so it was kind of grown out of that.
What do you do with within these communities? I'm going to ask what I think is probably a rhetorical question, but In the event that you do have a person who is, let's say they got past all the detectors and they wound up being more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. And then, you know, those things happen. So what do you do in those circumstances where, and how often does it happen?
Yeah. So in our community, I've only gone through it once here and it was actually fairly recent, just this year. And, you know, the first time when the first problem happened, this person got a talking to from some of the elders in the community, like, look, you can't do this, you know. You have to understand that this person was using someone else's resources. I'll just leave it at that. Said, hey, you can't do it. You know, at the end of the day, you have to understand that their sovereignty is their sovereignty. And, you know, it's okay. We'll help you through it. Let's get better. Well, then it wasn't long and the same issue was coming up again. And then it was just a blunt conversation. And in the end, they get excommunicated. They just get shunned. Now, that doesn't mean they sell their land and moved off. They're just no longer part of the text chain, the Discord group. They're no longer part of the communications, and we just go on with our day. I don't spend a lot of energy on it.
A voluntaristic community that actually works. How about that? Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know why this is so hard. I mean, now here's the part that I don't understand, because there are other mutual assistance groups out there, but I haven't even seen a close second to the kind of camaraderie that I saw there. Now I mean, is it some of the activities that you do? And the reason I'm asking is that one night around the campfire, and I spoke about this in the podcast, one of the, I don't know if it was done as a community building thing. I'm not sure what the intent was, but you guys played that. It's not conflicted, but basically it's a card game where it throws out a scenario. There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. And I'm seeing little children speak up and say, okay, for example, yeah, okay, that's it right there, without rule of law. Yep, I got two of them downstairs. So, I mean, I'm sitting here just absolutely dumbfounded, even weighed in on a couple of, yep, Bobby says, without rule of law. I'm sitting there dumbfounded because I am shocked that even children are invited, which is exactly what we should want.
Yes.
To offer an answer. I mean, is this part of your community building thing? Is this a, you know, what role and how often do you do that sort of thing? How often do you have get togethers? Because I'm already seeing questions right now where people are talking like, Steve, we'll get to you here in a second here, where he says, well, let me have you answer that question. Then we'll go to Steve's question.
Yeah. So this is a complex answer. We do two Midwest Parents Festivals a year. Those are the big festivals. We do four smaller community-based festivals, not really festivals, but just get togethers, big potlucks. We do them quarterly. But we also, in between those quarters, probably twice a month, we're getting together to do, you know, whatever's on the plate. Like, for example, this weekend, there was a bunch of people at my house putting up tomatoes and peppers, making salsa. We had a big salsa party, put up, 100 quarts of salsa, you know, on a day. So there's a lot of those going on. We also do homestead rotations. So any of the homesteads can pick up the phone and say, hey, I want to call a homestead rotation, which is anybody's available will come to their aid. And we've built... Oh, goodness. A year ago, we built a guy a whole house. We've built barns. We've done firewood. We've done gardens and planted trees. We've built fence. We've, you know, whatever it is. So we're really together a lot. I mean, I'm at someone else's homestead two or three times a week here.
Oh, but wow.
Sometimes it's just three of us helping do a small project. And sometimes, like the house build, for example, We showed up on a Saturday. I think there was about 50 people there. Showed back up on Sunday. By the end of the weekend, the house was up weather tight. And so it just depends, but we're together. I mean, literally all the time. Also, we have our own communication channels where we get together once a week on the internet to talk about whatever's going on in our county. Sometimes it's a political conversation. Sometimes it's a gardening conversation. Sometimes it's a harvesting conversation. Sometimes it's a building conversation. We have our own text chains. We talk together, all of that. But like I said, today, when I get done here, I'm going to go help a guy with plumbing, you know, when we get done. So it's the thing about community that everyone has to understand is it is no different that than you when you grow a garden. You pull the weeds because you want to harvest. Community works the same way. If you want a harvest, you got to be intentional. You got to invest in it. You got to be willing to give of yourself plus a little bit. And if you can, here's the thing that I think makes the community so badass is that we have a whole bunch of leaders. You cannot lead if you cannot follow. I'll tell you that 100% of the time. We have a lot of leaders. And so we're in a great spot where, you know, Indiana Mike will taking over kind of the political movement. So Indiana Mike will tell me, hey, Tag, I want you to do a video about this. Or, hey, will you go film this? Fine, I'm in. You know, and people are willing to give that. And so I think you get good people, you have good leaders, you create sovereignty, you focus on individual rights. And I think it works out okay, you know, in the end, but it takes all of those things. So the short answer to your question is we be intentional. We do it all the time. We do it every single day. It's part of our daily chore list. No different than pulling weeds, no different than going out and feeding the animals, no different than any other part of our day. We just spend a portion of it focused on community.
Now, speaking of that community, you know, they have the Free State Project up there. I think it's in. Yeah. So essentially, you're doing a version of it that seems to be working in terms of, OK, at the end of the day, I'm no fan of government and I don't care what level. Yep. But, you know, it's like George Washington said to a it's a dangerous servant or a fearful master, depending on how you, you know, yep. how you're governed. Or like Jefferson said, that government is best which governs least.
Yep.
So you're always going to have these bureaucrats in government, these gumshoes that want to go around and tell everybody how to live. How are you combating that?
Oh, easy. This is super, super easy. We don't. I mean, at the end of the day, someone has their own land. They're a sovereign. They're going to do whatever they want to do. We have one rule in our community. It's literally one rule, and it's don't be a dick. That's it. We don't need anything else. You do what you want to do on your land. Grow what you want to grow. Now, if you want to get together with five other homesteads and work on a rotation where you're growing beans and they're growing carrots and they're growing potatoes, rock on. But there's nobody there to enforce those things, nor will we enforce those things, nor will we even go down that road.
I guess what I'm getting at is that is the intent to get enough people in one location or in the same county or whatever to where you could enact change that benefits the community and at the end of the day, like your hat says, to make you even more of a free man, where let's say right now there's some idiotic ordinance that says you have to do A, B, and C with a septic. And yeah. You all know that it's absurd. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Are you able to get enough people together to, let me just throw that over to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're already doing it, Billy. We're already doing it. And now I would love to be twice the size because at twice the size, I can completely control the political narrative. But where we're at now, I mean, we just recently went through a whole series of event with land and planning division at my county courthouse. And they were wanting to change a bunch of laws and make it harder to live the life that we want to live. We packed the place and they backed off. We actually effectively changed the policies in my county to allow temporary dwellings, to allow, tiny houses, shipping containers, those kind of things, because we went after them and took it to them. I now videotape every government, not just me, but a lot of our community. Every single meeting they have is videotaped and then put on YouTube on a whole nother channel called Northeast Kansas Open Government. And we do it on purpose. And we hold our elected representatives. We hold them accountable. We're at every single meeting, one of us to videotape. So it's going on now. We're making changes now. No, we're not winning all of them. They just raised taxes in my county, even though everybody hated it. We packed that house full and they still did what they wanted to do anyway, but that's okay because it ain't over. But we're doing it now.
Yeah, but what's blowing my mind is at your event, there were people moving there. Now, this is why I'm saying this is so incredibly special. What y'all have going on there is that Kansas is not known for a destination location for most people. No, most people just don't. I'm one of the dummies that left. That's another story altogether to basically make the mistake of teaming up with family down in Texas. So that was one of my many mistakes along the way. But I mean, you have got to have some pretty awesome stuff going on there. When I'm talking to people at y'all's event, at the Midwest Preparedness Project, and folks, by the way, if you haven't been there, you are missing one of the best events I've ever been to, without a doubt. It's a camp out, but you don't have to camp out. You can hang out there during the day, go into Lawrence, go stay at a hotel or motel, whatever the case may be. If you want to sleep on the ground, that's fine, in a tent, RV, whatever. They had all of the above, but what was blowing my mind is that there are people from all over the United States of Amnesia that are now settling in your part of Kansas.
Yep.
And I, bro, if you would have told me this was going to happen 5 years ago, I'd have said you were crazy. And the number one reason that I've heard out of these people, because I kind of like asked, well, why here? Why? And they said exactly the same thing. They said community.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, we actually have a community. You know, people talk about community all the time, but it's a whole, tell you a funny story, Billy. When last year I set out to go on all the speaking tours, and I spoke at 12 places last year. And I did it because what I thought I was going to do is go learn how other communities do it so we could get a little bit better. And so I really reached out to try to find these other communities. And I went and spoke at a bunch of them. You know what I learned in all of it? None of them are even close.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't this big awakening thing for me that said, hey, this is how you do it, or this is the model, because I just didn't find it anywhere else. Most people think Kansas is this flat, barren land. But what you got to understand about Kansas is half of it is hilly, woody, watery. Half of it's barren, but the other half isn't. And, I know you met Jeff and Louise. Jeff and Louise moved from Tennessee. They had a fully functioning homestead. We're completely off grid.
Yes.
But as they're getting older, what they're figuring out is they can't do it alone. Right. And in your chat right there, One Step Closer said, they pulled me all the way from Texas. Great community. And I want to quote him. One Step Closer said to my wife in my living room, he said, I can buy land anywhere. What I bought was neighbors.
Wow.
And I think this is really important because, again, collectively, we can control a lot if we get together with one brain. That doesn't mean we have to be best friends.
Tag, I don't know if it's on your end or mine, but is it your phone going off? There's some vibration thing that's happening, and it's doing something to the audio. I'm not sure if it's on. Don't mean to take you off your point. It could be the powers. It could be the powers that shouldn't be within this computer that are doing that. But, yeah, there's some weird vibration. It seems like we're cool now, but as you were, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. No, I just think that it is so, I think what One Step Closer said was just so exactly right. Guys, the fact of the matter is you can homestead successfully in North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana. You can homestead successfully in Oklahoma and Iowa and Nebraska, in California and Idaho. You can do it anywhere. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't do it alone. You cannot. We have never lived in a time ever where there were so many things going on that the tiniest spark could cause us trouble. Every front. I mean, can anybody make the argument that the education system squared away, the food system squared away? What about the executive branch, the legislative branch, right? What about any of them, right? The judicial branch, is it all squared away? Is there anything that's running well in our country right now today? Anything? And I think the answer to that is universally no. Because the system is so frail, we need each other at the end of the day. And so I think it's what attracts people, and they just keep coming. Billy, I'll tell you something funny. Last year, every single piece of property that came up for sale, I did a video on, and I put it out there on my YouTube channel saying, hey, someone buy this up. Somebody buy this up. And I get this question all the time. Aren't you worried about who's coming in? Well, kind of. But here's the thing. If there's a piece of land that a realtor has for sale, I get one of two choices. I get the like-minded unknown or just the unknown.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to buy it. I would rather have someone that's at least mildly like-minded. Again, we ain't got to be best friends. But that will show up at the county commissioner's meetings, will show up at the school board meetings, will show up and help somebody put up a barn. When someone's in need, a year ago, my place caught on fire. My neighbor started a fire across the field and it burned all the way up into my house. And you know what, Billy? I didn't call the fire department. I called the community and we put the fire out.
Mm, how about that? That
is community.
You know what else I noticed in your community that I have that, there were so many different things, is that there was not a single skill set that was neglected. And I'm talking all the way from, and folks, this is at a camp out where I'm meeting these folks, everybody from a doctor who just floored me with the information that was being presented. And I couldn't believe what he offered this community. And I'll put it this way. When I was still in the Kansas City, IBEW, electricians local, I don't know what it is now, but back then it was probably $10 for every hour you worked, went into your health and welfare, and it was screwed over. It was ripped off. It didn't go under your check. I had no idea the even the health care that you guys have within this community is, if people knew, I don't know how much you want to talk about this, but if people knew about it, bro, there are people that would probably get on the first thing smoking right now. Anybody with any kind of chronic health condition, any kind of whatever, I'm talking just the medical, just from the medical standpoint, I couldn't even believe what you guys are offering there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually, we are so blessed. You know, one of the questions I get all the time about communities, what do you do about healthcare?
Yeah.
Very common question. So luckily for us that we have a local doctor who got tired of the system. And in the beginning, he started one little clinic, and it was called Holton Direct Care. Now, just so you guys know, the community owns no part of it. This is his business, right? He is sovereign. It's his own thing. But he accepts no health insurance. And so what you do is you pay, like I pay $70 a month for me, $70 a month for my wife, and $30 a month for my daughter. And they take care of all of our basic needs. Now, they're not going to help you if you need a heart transplant.
Right.
If I break my leg, if I need stitches, if I'm sick, if I need antibiotics, if any of those, you know, normal everyday kind of stuff, they take care of us. And we promoted it. The whole community jumped behind this business to make it successful. And you know what? Today, there's 6 clinics all over Northeast Kansas.
That's what blows my mind, is that nobody needs regular insurance for chronic conditions. You need insurance for catastrophic care.
Yeah.
If, when you have a system like that, you know how much I could save just on my insurance if I were still in that system. I'm no longer in that system. But if I were, if all I had to do was worry about catastrophic care, like you said, okay, you got hit by a bus, you got a broken leg, you got a bullet wound or whatever the case. Never mind. I'm sure there's a lot of guys in that community that could sew me up if I had a bullet.
Oh yeah,
in me. But the point being is that just in that thing alone, where you are being robbed, like I said, that was 10. It's probably up to $20 an hour that goes into that health and welfare fund that could have been put into my pocket if I'm working in a system like that. Which means now all of a sudden, if you're a person that's going to your 9-to-5 and that's what you do every day, well, guess what? You need a whole lot less if you're not giving half of it away into an insurance system that you have no intention of using unless there is a catastrophic accident. But it was not just that. When I heard that system alone, bro, I was like, man, I could do an entire show on this alone. And then because it was a system that I was trying to set up in Kansas City when I was still there. Of course you couldn't get the collective to see the sense in it, right. But it wasn't just that. It was like every single, let's say from the physician all the way down from plumbers to carpenters to military, you name it, their name, a career, an essential career, even not what some people would call non-essential in the United States of Amnesia. And there was not a single box you guys didn't cover multiple times. And then what's beauty is that you cross train one another.
Yep. We spent a lot of time doing that. You know, I told you the story about the guy we built the house for. He's a good carpenter today. He didn't know anything about going into it. And enough time, enough with us who do it a lot, you know, now he's out there building all of his own things. I mean, I know right now he's siding that very house on his own with no help. You know, I've got, as I mentioned before, I'm going to go help a guy with plumbing today who has never had any concrete experience. We've poured a few pours now, and all of a sudden he's becoming very competent in how to do a footing or, you know, how to pour a slab. But this is what makes communities so special. We don't need the outside world. We just don't need them. We can take care of it for ourselves.
Well, to that point, I mean, I guess I better get to some of these questions. And folks, if you have them, please leave them here. Man, okay, here we go. I'll put this one on screen. But I want to also expand it a little bit. Hi, Billy. Great show. I'm trying to start a homestead in the Finger Lakes of New York. Okay, I know of a community up there, and it just happens to be a cooperative community right there in the Finger Lakes. And I had a little bit of association with them. And there's a reason they're not on this podcast right now. You dig what I'm saying? But it depends on what your tag. For the people out there that are thinking, okay, you know what? Just emerge from the matrix, or I just extricated myself from the bottom of Plato's cave, and I now realize that those shadows on the wall weren't legit. Oh, snap. Here I am. I'm out here. And let's say, Steve, I don't know your, you know, specific situation, but let's say in a case like Steve, like, hey, first of all, would you start a community in Finger Lakes, New York?
I would not. you know, I kind of have, and I don't want to totally derail this conversation, but when we picked our land where we live now, the first thing we did was a threat and needs analysis. And one of the big things on my threat analysis was how many people could get to me in a tank of gas. And so that pretty much eliminated most of the East Coast, most of the West Coast, just by that one question.
Damn.
For me personally. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm right, right? Because everyone has their own threat and needs analysis, and none of them are wrong. They're all right. Whatever makes you happy, rock on. Personally, I would not, because I just don't want the number of people. However, there's a lot of ways to go about doing it. And Billy, if you want some at some point in time in this podcast, I'd be happy to talk about some of the basic things we could do to build community from the beginning. I mean, I did it. I know.
Well, let's absolutely get to that. But the thing with Steve, I'm just going to tag kind of hit on some of what I was talking about there, too. There's a thing with population density. And when you're in Finger, I know a guy that I won't go into any detail, but he had a decent location in Ohio. Yep. And after that derailment, the train derailment, he ended up situating himself just outside of New York. Now, best decision in the world, I would have taken my chances back there with that Ohio disaster than be that close to New York City.
Yeah.
There's a book everybody ought to read. It's called Strategic Relocation by Joel Scouse, and there's a number of others out there as well. But yeah, hey, Tag, I'll tell you what, why don't we go ahead and do that very same thing? Why don't you go ahead and because clearly a lot of people are going to want to know that the basics from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So let's just say, hey, I'm new to this. What are the do's, don'ts? How do we get it going? Lay it out, bro.
Yeah, so I think the first thing that I would do is start with a threat and needs analysis, what we just talked about. And I'll make this real quick. I'll just kind of run through it. So for me, when I went through it, I didn't want anything to be the other side of the Rocky Mountains. So I drew a line right down the Rocky Mountains and cut that whole other side off because of population density. Because the Rocky Mountains create a beautiful natural barrier, right? It's just smart. On the other side, the first step I did is cut off everything to the east of the Mississippi River. Because again, the Mississippi River is also a nice natural barrier. And for good measures, I took it to the Missouri River. So now I have this strip right down the center of the United States. Question was, how far north did I want to be at the Mexican border? Right. So that drew a line up to a particular place. And then what was the growing season, which took my line down out of North Dakota? Eventually, you just hone in. Right. And actually, I ended up with my ground zero being in a place called Brownsville, Nebraska. To me, is the perfect ideal location. It's about 60 miles from my current location. We couldn't find land there. We ended up where we ended up. So anyway, once you pick your location, there's a lot of ways to build community. You can go down the road that I went down, which is I went and started a YouTube channel, went out and did some public speaking, which those things brought in a good chunk of the members in the community. But there's so many other things than that. I got involved locally. I went to farmers markets. I went to, you guys, every town in America has 12 old guys sitting at a Burger King at 6:30 in the morning having coffee, right? It's a great place to go figure out what goes on. FHA, Future Farmers of America, right? 4-H, and there's a million things you can do out there, but there's also some simple things you can do. If you're driving down the road and you see a sign that says eggs for sale, stop. Go introduce yourself, because I'm going to promise you something. If I walked into a brand new community and I wanted to build community and I didn't know anybody, at the end of day one, I'd have a trunk full of produce, eggs, and a turkey, and you know, all kinds of stuff, because I will have made my rounds and started to make connections. The point is, you have to be intentional. As long as you make it part of your everyday quest to go out there and build community, you will be successful. But if you're going to hide behind the scenes and wait for the advertising bird to drop the James Wesley Rawls survival group on you, it's never going to happen.
Exactly.
I apologize, but it's not.
No, bro. Okay. Can you still hear me, Tag? Because I just saw somebody said that my volume is way overcharged. Folks, I'm sorry about that.
I hear you. Great.
Okay, apparently I'm overdriven out there on YouTube, so it could be one game that they're playing out there. So, you know, it was funny because I'd like the center of the country for that very same reason. But on the other end of things, I was thinking, okay, from a tactical standpoint, I really love the mountains. And there was also something from a permaculture lens, because I'm in the I better not say this. I won't say it. Right now I'm working on a new book. And basically from a preparedness from a permaculture lens. Now, one of the things I was looking for also for this is for other people to consider out there as well, is I wanted to have my altitude high enough to where I could avoid the humidity, but low enough that I could keep the fertility. Because the higher you go, the less your fertility, the lower you are, the higher the fertility. But the lower you go, you also have that problem with the humidity. So I'm thinking, okay, where can I go where I'm basically t-shirt weather all year long, where I have a tactical advantage, where I can be situated, where I could, you know, and that's part of the reason why I ended up where I am, where I'm isolated, where I have the benefit of a lot of different things. But Tag, I'm right there with you as far as right there in the center of this country. But there's also enclaves that can be found in other areas as well. At the end of the day, you know, I'm actually going to go to a couple of local preparedness groups out there. And the only thing I'm seeing, I think one of the big, big differences that I see in you guys' group that I don't see in other groups is, and then honestly, that I didn't see in the preparedness groups when I still live near the Kansas City area, is that the one big thing that you guys add that I don't think everybody else does is your, I forgot what you called it, but it's basically, they would have their monthly meetings and it was basically a show and tell, or for a guy to go stick out his wanker and brag about his latest toy or whatever else. And I was like, okay, so you got a year's worth of food put back, bro. What do you do on day 366? Right. You know, what you guys do is, I think it can't help but foster community. I think I'm starting to crack that nut a little bit, because the one thing you guys do that I don't think I've seen anybody else do is this being this mutualistic relationship of being on call for one another. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, you got a fire. Well, everybody that's nearby comes, puts it out. Yep. Or, hey, you got a barn building. Everybody comes and put. This is what most preparedness groups do not do. They just basically meet every month, but they don't do anything. I mean, yeah, they might do a little bit of shooting here and there, but you guys are doing real projects. And as you well know, one of the best ways, in fact, this is why I was so tight with my buddies, is that it's within these crucibles of really hard times that you forge these relationships, these friendships. Yep. At those times where, you know, things suck, you're out there in the middle of this heat or the cold or whatever the case may be. And I think that's one of the ways in which you guys crack that nut is, other groups just simply don't do that sort of thing. They just don't do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you surround yourself with doers. And if you walk into a room and you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
You got that right.
Right. I mean, and so, you know, I've really tried very, very hard to make sure the people I surround myself with and the people we bring into the community are actual doers. And we do it every day. And we live it every single day. And I do agree with you, Billy, that I think that's a big difference. And I want to go back to the where you live thing real quick. Because I think it's important that I note my decision was based upon my threat. So to someone who doesn't want to live in freezing weather, because I'm going to tell you something, in January, it'll be minus 30 here. Don't pick Kansas. if weather is an issue for you, don't do it. Right. So I think it's just important that my threat and need analysis isn't yours and isn't anybody else's. Just do your own. Make a strategic decision on where you're going to live based upon first your threats. And then second, you know, Billy talked about the humidity level and being able to be in a t-shirt year round. His needs, right, are super important. And he made his decision based upon those needs, which is what you should do.
Yeah. But you're also pointing out a tactical point as well. Think about it. Things jump off and let's say it is the middle of the winter. Yep. Okay. There's always going to be a winter somewhere. You know what? You are the last place on earth. Somebody's going to want to come. You and other people in your community, you're not just going to walk up out there when it's in that weather. And then plus in that weather, and let's just say it was the worst, like a grid down scenario, whatever the case may be, you have a tactical advantage that's on steroids simply because of, number one, you know your topography well, you know that system well, and frankly, you have the warm location that other people just aren't going to stumble on. So for the people out there that are, obviously there's going to be a number of people out here that are going to listen to this to a certain extent. Hey, by the way, folks, if you're new coming in here right now, hit the thumbs up, let everybody know that we're live so they start suppressing us. And then also, I'm also speaking, if you hear me trying to be more descriptive, I'm also doing it from the understanding that most people that are going to listen to this are listening to the audio format. So Tag, there's going to be a number of people out there that are going to think, man, this sounds like a place I want to be, notwithstanding the negative 30 degrees and stuff like it. But I mean, is there availability for freedom-minded people to make their way out there? Is everything already taken up? I mean, I know Cali and her husband just got out there, and they seem like they got a pretty good deal, and they're off. You guys are building them a place. I mean, how much availability is there for land out there? Every time you turn around, it seems like the powers that shouldn't be are buying it up, or things are drying up. Are there options for people to move there?
Yeah, there's actually land that comes up all the time. I haven't done a land video in a while, and it's been on purpose because I'm trying to control our growth a little bit, right? Because I only have so many hours in the day, and so we have like 9 homesteads with major construction projects going on right now. So I purposely slowed it down, but there's plenty of land for sale. And if you contact me, I can actually get you in contact with a local, like-minded, community-oriented realtor who knows what we look for, who will then put you on an email list, and you'll get every piece of property that comes up for sale. The other thing is, I don't control who buys the land. If it's listed with the realtor and you want to buy it, knock yourself out. If the question is, how do I get involved in the community and how do I mesh with the community? Well, get involved and mesh with the community. Right? I mean, it's really not hard. From the festival, we have 6 new families we're now talking to at the very early stages, and we'll continue to go through that process for some time. And it's good. So yeah, there's land for sale. There's, you know, it's a free country. You can buy land anywhere you want. Back to your other point real quick about tactical advantage. The other thing is, nobody wants to come to Kansas because of what they think it is.
Exactly. Good. Exactly. And that's a really good thing. Especially in the area where you are, where it's, you don't just stumble on to something out there, you know? I mean, it's not, hey, I was just traveling down this road. It doesn't work that way. And places like Darren, where you're practically in the Nebraska border, I mean, you don't just stumble onto a place like that. Tag, I know we got to bring it to a close here before long, but I know that you got some personal projects that you have going on on your property. And the idea is to have why don't you tell everybody about it as far as a gathering place for the community?
Yeah. So one of the challenges we've had as we've continued to grow, it gets harder and harder to find a place to house our shenanigans, right? If we want to get 50 people together to harvest 10 farms, gardens all at one exact same time, where do you do stuff like that at? Now, I have a processing kitchen on my land that I built for my wife, but you're going to get 5 people in there. You're never going to be able to do that. And so after some soul searching, B and I decided we would invest the capital. And then with the help of the community, because I got a lot donated, we have built our first community learning center, our community building. And it'll seat about 100 people. We just now got all the outside done. So it's weather tight, and we're now beginning construction on the inside. I've got the audio and visual guys coming on Saturday. I've got the ham radio guy coming on Saturday and the solar guy coming on Saturday. And so we're going to go through that process. Hopefully within a couple months, we'll have it all buttoned in. And then we'll begin to do a lot more of the, hey, let's bring Billy in and do a permaculture class. Let's bring Salatin in, whatever it is, right? We will have a place where we can do that intimately with all of the equipment you need. Everything's right there in there. And here's another side too. It's a place you can have an open conversation, because I'm very reluctant to have an open conversation sitting in an Applebee's. I just don't do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we'll talk about carrots or whatever, right? I mean, but I'm not really going to get into it. I'm there. And so I'm very excited about it. I can't wait for our first wedding. I can't wait for the first Bible study or the first constitutional class that goes on for the kids. I can't wait to have the first live band. You know, it's just all of those amazing, wonderful things that are coming for us. And we're very, 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 very close. So I'm super excited about it.
Man, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's things like that where, and you know, good night, man. I mean, I don't know that I would have left had these things existed before then, because honestly, being a part of a lot of the communities that were back there, either on both the Missouri side and the Kansas side, I saw glimpses of it within, you know, the things Bobby was involved with, but everything on the Missouri side, it turned out to be, you know, it was one of those things. Let's go do the camp out. There was never any of the other.
Yep.
There wasn't this level of community involved. So, I mean, right now we're in a time in this country where, I mean, everybody's looking for some savior, we're looking for a political savior for all the ails that are going on in this country that have been going on for years and years and years. And everybody's looking for these guys to solve their problems. Meanwhile, you guys are turning from within and relying on each other. And like you said, this is a renaissance. If anything, it's a renaissance. Yeah. It's a rediscovery of what America used to be. And you guys are bringing it back. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's also, you know, but you have a lot of committed people, you know, and we have tribulation that goes on in the community, right? I mean, not everybody always gets along. And, you know, and I have people all the time, Billy, come to me and say, hey, I'm upset at Susie because X. And I always ask them the same question. Did you do your part plus a little bit? Did you do more than your part in this equation? And typically they go, no. I said, well, maybe you should go reflect on that.
Wow.
And off we go, you know, off to the next one. We're very blessed and we're very, but again, guys, I'm going to tell you, it's not me. I'm the face of it because I have the YouTube channel that started and all of those kind of things. But the fact is we have amazing leaders, you know, Bobby Spaggs and, you know, Gypsy, who I know is in this chat here today, and Indiana Mike. And there's just so many. American Roots Farm. There's another great one. But there's so many of them. That's what makes it work. It's not me. I promise you it's not me.
No, it's a collective. It's the only time where anything like this where, and I'm 100, and I've been convinced of this for years, that the only way this can work is if everybody has their own little fiefdom. And I like what Hippocrates Garden says here, the construction adhesive of community is sweat, yeah, blood, and calluses. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. That's why I think that's one of the many things. I'm still going to struggle as to why you guys have got this nut figured out, because this isn't, we're not fusing DNA here, Tag.
No. And,
but I don't know why every other mutual assistance group out there isn't getting the memo on how to make this stuff happen. Hey, before we bring this to a close, tell everybody, I mean, is there anything you want to add, or could you tell everybody where to find you and how to get involved?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing I think I want to say is, Billy, you're part of our community no matter where you live. You know, you're one of the OGs here in Kansas, and everybody looks at you that way. And I can't tell you how exciting it was for many of the homesteaders here who follow you to be able to interact with you personally this last weekend. So I just wanted to thank you for that. It's a big deal. And you're welcome here anytime, and I hope we see you again soon. As far as finding me goes, you can find me at the YouTube channel Life Done Free or Facebook page Life Done Free. My email address is on my YouTube channel. If you email me, I'll be happy to respond to you and, you know, continue the conversation. At the end of the day, I mean, I think what Hippocrates said is the absolute best comment. You know, it's sweat, blood, and calluses. And if you want to be part of a community, you just got to be part of the community. That's it, right? It's just not any more complicated than that. These other communities haven't found the magic sauce, Billy, because what they don't understand is that the individual right trumps that of the community. And until you understand, I mean, and I'm not talking about saying it, I'm talking about truly understanding what that means, you won't get that. It won't register. And I really hope that every community out there listening to us, and we've helped form communities, by the way, all over through freesteading and through some of those other things. Freesteading.com is a social media platform that I own part of. It's really just built to yoke people up and help them build community. But at the end of the day, guys, I want to tell everybody, this is so critical. You can't do it alone. I don't care what kind of badass you are. You can't do it alone. Go yoke up, go get involved. And again, I'm happy to help any way that I can.
Man, thank you so much for being on here, y'all. And I want to thank everybody else that decided to come in here to the chat and drop some comments. I'm going to try to do more of these because it is really, really, really that important. And like I said, I wasn't counting on YouTube to go ahead and spread this thing far and wide because they don't want this. I mean, you could say, look, building resilient communities. Let me just tell y'all a secret. If it has anything to do with community, regenerative ag, anything like that, that could help keep you alive, the powers that shouldn't be, it's the last thing on earth they want you to know about. That's exactly why our tagline on this show is stay alert, stay alive. They don't want an individual just to carve a copy. You sitting at Manicotti, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze, got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to split up at the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never bow down, 'cause I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. They want me to bow down, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior.